came to mind, which I want to share with you this morning in the time that I have left. It comes out of Ephesians chapter 4. We read these words. We'll start at verse 11. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers for the building up of the body of Christ until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature man, to a measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And as a result, we're no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together, and by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer as the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught in Him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in the reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Therefore, laying aside all falsehood, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Let's just stop there for a minute. I want to just note here, when we talk about, well, what is the main purpose of the church? There are some that would say it has something to do with the Great Commission of going out and evangelizing the world. Others would say it has to do with being involved in injustices and trying to correct some of the wrongs that are in the world. And we see those every night on the news reports and in our newspapers. Some would say that the church is called to be a fortress, which functions somehow as a retreat center where we come in, we get built up, and then we go back out into the world to fight for another day. But Paul's view is something else, and I would use this text to demonstrate that. Paul would have concerns similar to the ones that we've talked about, yet in the context, he, in this letter, is saying something else about growing up in him. And I'm looking here specifically this morning, I'm directing your attention to verses 14 and 16. That as a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is head, even Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. In these brief verses, Paul speaks of maturity once and of building or growing up three times more. We are to grow up. We are to mature. We're not to stay the way we've been in the past. Look again here at verse 14. Be no longer children that are tossed here and there by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine. The contrast here is between the nature and the conduct of infants with those who speak the truth in love while growing up into all aspects into Him. I note here, children can be easily deceived, can't they? We all know the story of the guy that wanders into the neighborhood and says to the young little child, I have a puppy. I've been looking for this puppy for so long. Have you seen it? He has little brown spots, and he's kind of white, but has these spots on his head. Have you seen my puppy? Could you help me look for him? We know how easily children are deceived by something like that. We have to caution them that they not be taken in by those kinds of remarks because we know where that's going to lead them. But Paul is using this to say we need to grow up and not be like a child. Children are easily deceived. So Paul earlier lists apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. These are gifts that are given to the church for the purpose of growing out of spiritual infancy into maturity. And the church today is very immature. That's a problem in the United States as well as it being a problem in Colombia. And this is why for years I've been ramping up the need for us teaching more doctrine, not only from the pulpit, but also what Jim is doing in introducing the catechism to our families and our kids, teaching these little guys from the time they're little the truths of the scripture that will give them reason and understanding. But there's another way we're carried along by winds of doctrine. We're also carried along by our emotions, aren't we? At times we seem to be more feeling driven than anything else, and we are living in the feeling age, are we not? Everything seems to be driven by how you feel or what you're impressed with at any given time. One of our people said to me this week, you know, emotions are like puppies. One minute they're licking all over your face, and the next minute they're peeing all over your feet. That's exactly the way it is with emotions and feelings. We can't deny them. We shouldn't stuff them. But you can't live life based upon them. Otherwise, you are carried along and moved, almost like an oscillating fan. You know, you're over here, and then you're back over there, and you're moving here and there. There's no anchor. There's no root in this truth of Scripture that holds the line in place for how we're being directed. It's interesting that Paul uses this kind of language. I won't read it this morning, but in Acts chapter 27, he got caught in a storm where they were being buttressed here and there and everywhere. No light for several days, and they thought they were going to die. He understood what it meant to be bounded back and forth by waves, whether they be doctrinal or emotional. And I would argue that the emotion cuts into doctrine, that sometimes our feelings are stronger than what we've been taught. And we end up being carried along with those kinds of thoughts. But something I saw in Colombia, I think needs to happen more here in the United States. The Colombians are doing something here that we find in Matthew chapter 28, when Jesus gave the Great Commission that we hear quoted so much about missions. He noted that in that, we are to be teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. What I see happening in these Reformed churches in Colombia is that they're trying to do a diligent effort of not only instructing the people, but the clear understanding, you too go out and instruct others. And that caught me, because at times I think we are in situations in the U.S. where when we do have good teaching, we become spiritually fat. We keep expanding in our understanding, but it's not being translated into talking to others, evangelism, disciple-making, teaching, modeling, getting the word out to those that are outside the church. Somehow, and this is what's interesting about the Colombian church, keep in mind, these are first-generation Christians. There's no heritage. In most cases, they've not even been raised in an Orthodox church. In many cases, they haven't been raised in any church. So everything is the beginning of the beginning. And one of the things I think they're doing right is that they're teaching them that you learn for the purpose of teaching. They've got this understanding that it's not just people that are gifted in teaching that are doing the instruction, but the entire church has a call upon it to be going out and affecting people that are around them. And that overshadows other concerns. And as I noted for you, you have several people that I'm seeing, and I know I only saw a small sliver of it, but people that are willing to leave jobs that pay decent livings for the sake of the advancement of the kingdom of God, to be involved in this instruction, to be devoted with more time to put into it. Paul says in verse 15 here that we are to be speaking the truth in love and that we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is head over us, even Christ. It's the all aspects. Think about your life. Every area is supposed to be experiencing growth and change, transitioned into what God wants you to have in your own life as a believer. That transcends many of your prayer concerns, that are burdens, yes, they are, but maybe not the overriding concern in your life. Maybe your marriage is poor. Maybe there is a poor relationship even with your children, or vice versa. Maybe there is a poor situation going on in your employment. But something is working that's beyond this to cause us to want to grow up into all aspects into Him. But we resist it, don't we? I mean, change doesn't necessarily come easy. And that doesn't mean it's any different in Colombia than it is in the United States. I mean, there's part of our nature that's hostile to this, isn't it? You know, we get to a point where there's been a level of change, but don't disrupt my life any more than what it is. But it's that disruption of our schedules, disruption of how we use our finances, disruption of how we use our talents that ends up being used of the Holy Spirit for the advancement of the kingdom of God. And all of you play a role in that. Every single one of you play a role in that. I see that happening down there, and I am compelled to try to bring that home to you, to see that this emphasis on everybody is the church, and it is far more than coming in and dusting off a pew once a week. John MacArthur puts it this way. He says, despite our unprecedented education, sophistication, freedom, and access to God's Word and sound Christian teaching, it seems like every religious huckster can find a ready hearing and financial support from among God's people. The number of foolish, misdirected, corrupt, and heretical leaders to whom many church leaders will willingly give money and allegiance to is astounding and heartbreaking. It affects this whole idea of what we're doing as far as maturity. And that is what the Colombian church is up against. The vast majority of the Protestant church there has been affected by the hucksters. I mean, it's totally a health and wealth doctrine. And this has affected the churches that are trying to maintain orthodoxy, because the people that have come out of this are so sensitized to people directing them to give money for the sake of getting their own wants in this world, that when they come over to the other side of it, they're sensitized to that. They don't give as much, which means the people that are becoming pastors and leaders of the churches are suffering a great deal because the people don't give. And it takes years to change this thinking, to move them over here to see that it's the work of the kingdom. Now that aspect, I don't think we have as much. But those other T's, as far as the talent and the time factor of disrupting our lives to go out and be the people of God, that I do see a correlation of. And God's called us in all aspects to grow up into Him. Now seriously, when you sit there this morning and you think about your own life, I mean, what areas are there where you've struck some deals? You thought they were in place with the Holy Spirit, where we just can't really touch this particular region of our life. It's kind of off limits. We've got the flag of Christ flying as a banner over this area, but not over this or that over there. That's just for me. Whatever those areas are, when the flag of Christ goes up above them, that's what advances the congregation. That's what advances the church. It not only has an effect on your own life, it affects the life of all of us. And to the degree that happens, it makes us strong, healthy. The church is able to break into a run. It's not walking. It's not crawling. It's moving ahead with power. That's my message I'm bringing back. We got to grow up into all aspects into Him. What are those aspects in your own life? Put them out before Him. Lay them down, because we only have a few years on this planet. It's not as long as what we might think. It's the ongoing work of the kingdom of God. There's nothing that beats it. In Jesus' name, amen.